now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your Watchman of the Night Skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live, and I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Have you ever really wondered and wanted to know about the evidence that UFOs are actually tied into the U.S. government? And this is a question that's asked often, and not a lot of evidence put forward. Well, I have a guest for you tonight. Formerly a corporate journalist for Honda Research and Development in Torrance, California, Robert Stanley is currently the author of Close Encounters on Capitol Hill and Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. He's the host of the Unicus Radio Hour, and he served as a correspondent on America's Morning News. Robert is going to explain tonight the truth behind UFOs and the U.S. government. My guest, Robert Stanley. Robert, welcome to UFO Encounters Live. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back.
I love having you back because you talk about stuff that I really love. Many of the people, the public, do not believe that we have had ships. First of all, they're not even sure if we've had ships or landings on the Earth. But second of all, definitely not in Washington. Okay, so because Washington is always telling us that, you know, we've lost our mind, there's no such thing as UFOs. Okay, well, maybe there's some UFOs, but they're not really here for this or that. They're always lying to us. So let's go to you. You are very much a researcher in this area. Let's talk about Washington, D.C. Has UFOs ever been in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, the first reported incident in the public record is 1850. Okay. They called them airships at the time.
All right.
All right. The actual numbers of sightings didn't start to increase, or at least weren't publicly recorded, until the 1940s.
All right.
And then by the 1950s, it just was astronomical. They thought they were being invaded. It didn't just happen in 1952. The entire decade, it actually held the record statistically for the numbers of sightings, which was, you know, in the hundreds. That decade was way off the charts up until the first decade of this century. In other words, from starting literally January 1st, 2000, at the mall, there was a massive sighting there.
Okay.
And it just continued on from there for the first 10 years. That it eclipsed what was happening in the 1950s, and it's continuing to this day. And, of course, it's being denied.
So how can they deny something when there's so many witnesses? I mean, how can they deny something? Literally, it's sitting over the White House. Well, how can they deny that?
Well, specifically, it was the Capitol building, and that's how I got involved in this back in the spring of 2005. I was shown photographs, alleged, or, you know, authentic photographs taken at the Capitol July 16, 2002. I was very skeptical, so I contacted the photographer, and we became friends. And so I began reporting on that, on those photographs and that event where they swarmed over the Capitol, even landing on the roof, July 16, 2002. And that's all in 35-millimeter negatives, which have been authenticated. I began reporting that story in July of 2005. So it's been over 8 years that I've been reporting it. And so nobody can fault me for not getting the story out there. It's just that the government is still in full denial mode. The media won't touch this. Generally speaking, especially television media, even though we have the authentic photographs, they will not or have not yet reported it to the general public.
Okay. And why? Why do you think, I mean, obviously there could be a thousand reasons why, but why is this, in your opinion, going on?
The main reason is because Washington is a demonic city. And these entities, many of them are demonic. At least that's what our ancestors would have called them. They're highly manipulative, ultra-deceptive. They have a covert agenda that's being fulfilled. That's why they keep showing up in a place where officially they don't exist, where the government refuses to investigate, even though they say it. What they have said about it publicly is that if these things do exist and they are interplanetary, they pose no threat. Therefore, we don't really need to study it. Now, that's not true, because the photographs I told you about taken at the Capitol, July 16, 2002, that was after the events of 9/11. Security had been heightened, and it still is. It's much higher than previous to 9/11, yeah. 2001. And yet these things are violating the prohibited and restricted airspace of the Capitol, okay, on a regular basis. Now, specifically in 2002, it happened a lot. That July seems to happen a lot more. I think that could be the reports are higher then because a lot more people are out when it's warm. They're out at night.
Well, it's kind of hard to these things. It's kind of hard to miss a spaceship.
No, but here's the thing. They're usually silent. And
sure.
You got to understand something too. The people that live and work in Washington D.C., the last thing they want to do is go to the media and say, "Hey, guess what I saw?" It's bad for their career. Okay,
right.
So there's a self-enforced censorship because of the stigma that it's actually psychological warfare, in my opinion. The government was brilliant. The military intelligence did a real good job at scaring people into keeping silent because they didn't want to be publicly ridiculed or professionally damaged by coming forward with any credible information on this. And believe me, the people that have been seeing this for at least since the 50s, let's put it that way, 1950s, it was off the charts. And the military was trying to intercept, and they had no luck whatsoever. These things are completely evasive. It appears to me, based on the photographic evidence and the eyewitness reports, and there are, my second book, Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., I've got over 900 eyewitness accounts from 1850 to 2011. Okay, and it took me years to collect all that and analyze it. But here's the thing. It appears that there are wormholes, stargates, portals, whatever you want to call them. There's some mechanism that allows these ships and their occupants to travel to Washington, D.C. from a completely other place.
Okay.
And they do it with impunity. That's apparently, we can't shut it down, but there we actually have pictures. Again, if you go to my website, unicusmagazine.com, click on books, and you'll actually see the links to the free DC UFO image archive that I have.
Do you think? And not to interrupt you, but
go ahead,
I don't know why it's just sitting here banging on me.
Yeah.
They showed up in July of 2002, correct?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting they showed up in July in Roswell. I mean, is there anything to
correct.
July? Is there anything to that?
Yes, July 16th. I think it was 40. It was in the early 40s. It was before 47. I'm thinking 45.
Yeah.
Was when July 16th is when we detonated the first atomic bomb in on White Sands.
Okay.
And so that was the trigger, I believe, for a lot of these dark entities to come in. I mean, they'd already been here, but it literally threw the gates wide open.
So you're saying the nuclear bomb, I mean, would Hiroshima be a part of this too?
Of course.
So
of course it is.
So do you think that there is, by detonating a nuclear blast, a bomb, what have you, that this was an opening somehow into the stars or into another dimension to
absolutely.
Have... Now, okay, so here's the question then. This UFO issue has happened way before that. I mean, we've got religious paintings that
yes,
have
obviously.
Jesus and Mary and ships, so they didn't detonate any nuclear bombs then, so what would that be?
Well, the portals have always existed, okay? But portals to the dark side, those things were, let's just say, very limited. It's hard to pinpoint. We're still working on it for my next book, is Archons and Angels, and I have come across some fantastic information about what the government knows about these portals and how they've tried to hack their way in, because there seems to be some sort of energetic or... There's a control mechanism that they're working on. They can't seem to figure out how to get it across.
Well, they're trying.
They're trying, though.
They're
absolutely trying through different technologies.
Like
and
the jumpers.
If they have to break it open, look, that would be a sledgehammer effect, obviously, using something as dark as a nuclear device. But there's more than one way to open these portals. From our side, it's pretty hard. But there are cases of people going missing because simply they wandered into one of these things that's already existent.
Right. Do you think this is why they want to threaten with nuclear war? We're just almost out of time. We'll go to the next segment. But
go ahead.
Do you think this is why they're really threatening with nuclear war all the time? Is because they want to open more portals or open more places so that they can cross over?
I'm sure they'd like to. Like I said, that's not the only way. It's obviously not the best way because there's a lot of damage I mean, there's the fallout. The radiation is pretty
extreme. Oh, yeah. But they don't seem to care about us, so.
Well, and actually, the negatives, the dark ones, actually like radiation. It's something that they feel comfortable with. Obviously, we don't.
Right.
But, it's totally incompatible. It's really weird. I mean, if you want to talk about alien, truly, I think the definition, it would only apply to those that are from the dark side, because I'm sure we're all related to those beings of light. Some call them angels. I just think that that's our extended family, and they're being blocked.
Very interesting. Very
coming and interacting with us. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the other main reason for the cover-up here.
Very interesting. My guest is Robert Stanley. His website's www.unicusmagazine.com. Do not go away. I'll be right back.
Carl Sagan once wrote that the questioning mind needs to be instilled with both skepticism and wonder, for the universe is a pretty big place, filled with undelved mysteries, sciences, and life that we've barely begun to comprehend. Every month, Intrepid Magazine brings you both the wondrous and the skeptical. Intrepid Magazine focuses on science, metaphysics, UFOs, politics, conspiracies, and unexplained phenomena, all offered up by Intrepid's cadre of writers and contributors, comprised of a host of seasoned authors, pundits, and recognized names in their fields. The universe is indeed a big place, and where other magazines leave off, Intrepid Mag is just beginning. Subscribe to Intrepid Magazine today at www.intrepidmag.com. That's www.intrepidmag.com.
Life Change Tea detoxifies. GetTheTea.com. It's only about $1 a day. GetTheTea.com. Receive more energy. GetTheTea.com. Lose weight. GetTheTea.com. It's purifying. GetTheTea.com. It works immediately. GetTheTea.com. It's too easy. GetTheTea.com. We challenge you. GetTheTea.com. What's the phone number? 928-308-0408. What did you say? 928-308-0408. I didn't get that. 928-308-0408. Will it work? Yes. GetTheTea.com. Unmatched. GetTheTea.com. This gets in your head. GetTheTea.com. That's the idea!
Welcome back to the show. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live. My guest is Robert Stanley. His website, www.unicusmagazine.com. A lot of interesting information there. And of course, powerful book is Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. Very interesting book. I want to go, we were talking a little bit about nuclear, but I want to back up a little bit, and you made a comment, and I want to kind of clear and really get a good run here at when you said demonic beings. Now, this is the demonic is usually used in the church verbiage. This is a demonic entity. Now, do you think all extraterrestrials are demonic? And do you
no,
think?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. But
okay.
I do know. You mentioned my first book is called Close Encounters on Capitol Hill.
Yes.
I wrote that. Well, it was completed in 2006.
Yeah.
So it was. I only had like a year and a half of analysis of the information. Okay. And I thought I was done. But then I realized that there was a lot more that I had missed. So between 2007 and 2011, I wrote the second book, which is Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. Now, the conclusion, if anybody reads that book, I would urge them to read the conclusion first so everything else is put into perspective or context, and this is what I've learned. Washington, D.C. is a sister city to Rome. It is a Catholic city. The Capitol building is actually a replica, to some degree, of the Capitolium that sat on the seven hills of Rome. It is a temple to Jupiter, also known as Jove.
Okay.
And he was always depicted as a man, not a planet.
Okay. Right?
When they switched over to Christianity, they just replaced Jove with Jehovah and took it from there. But essentially, he was always the lead god of all the pantheon of Roman gods. And the senators would seek his consult. Now, what you need to understand is that Washington, D.C. is where the actual story for The Exorcist, which was written by William Blatty, who's a Catholic, he took that right out of the newspapers from 1938. All right? Now, that was a young 13-year-old boy, not a girl, that was having these events. The real story is absolutely a mind-blower. I know some people tried to deny it, but it is legitimate, in my understanding. It took multiple exorcisms, both in Washington, D.C. and Chicago, to get that boy clear. And the boy remembers there was an Archangel Michael actually came and intervened.
Okay? Wow.
It wasn't the Catholic priests. So, I mean, the first thing that they did was that the family ended up, they were referred to psychiatrists, and they put the whole family on medication. That didn't stop the problem at all. And
the pharmaceutical trade didn't stop it?
No, they're not good at drugging demons. Doesn't work. Okay?
Okay.
The other thing is the boy, he was speaking Aramaic. He didn't even, how could he possibly know that
right.
at times? Not all the time, but I mean, he didn't remember anything that was happening during the nighttime, which is typically when these things operate because they work in the dark. They're from the dark side.
Sure.
They hate the light. They're parasitic. They treat us like puppets. And what they get out of it is every time they cause us to harm ourselves or others, there's a negative energy that's generated that they feed off of. That's how they survive here. It's very, very simple. Evil is an infection. They are parasites.
It is. It is an infection. But here's where I want to go with this.
Go ahead.
We have the church that pushes, and the church is dirty. We know that. The church is dirty, and the political, they're kind of two in the same. We saw this in the days of Jesus. We see it in the days now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we talk about a demonic realm, does it immediately turn people off to say, oh, they're demonic, okay, this guy, he's just a church guy, and blah, 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 to where, you know what I'm saying? In other words, they've infiltrated our mind enough to where we can't even hear the truth about what's going on?
Well, that's the greatest trick that they ever pulled on us, was convincing us that they don't even exist. In that regard, that they can remain covert. Okay, and if anybody is doubts what I'm saying, please read the book, because it's all in there. It's not my opinion, okay? As a matter of fact, I didn't even want to publish that book once I wrote the conclusion based on the evidence. Okay, I didn't just analyze UFO reports. I started analyzing the history of our nation's capital, and it shocked me. It's nothing I'd ever read in class. Okay,
I mean,
of course
not.
I'm a normal human American. I was born and raised in America, and I never read any of this stuff. And I was actually confused why I was finding this stuff and putting it in together. Like, it was, I have to say, on some level. Now, look, I am not a religious person. I want people to understand. If you read the disclaimer on my website, I have no affiliation with any religious, political, or philosophical organizations. I am truly independent. But I am a very spiritual person, because I've had dealings with spiritual entities that are good and bad.
Right.
Okay. I know they exist based on my experiences. And I've concluded, based on thousands of other people, that they're experiencing what I've experienced too. So we're not all crazy, okay? There's something else going on here that the government doesn't want to acknowledge, the church really knows about, but they're not dealing with it effectively. And here's why. The boy was cleared, but where did that demon go? They didn't destroy the demon.
No.
They may have cleared the boy, but it still exists somewhere, probably still in Washington, D.C. Now, what else I found, what was really disturbing, is that this isn't on the public record. Anybody can look it up. There is a demon living in the Capitol building. They say it looks like a cat, but it can morph from the size of a house cat with red eyes, glowing red eyes, to the size of a small tiger. Okay, it's typically only seen prior to national crises, like Ronald Reagan being shot, or JFK, or 9/11. Those are just some of the examples. But it has literally left footprints, paw prints, in the marble floors and walls. This is a demon.
Okay, now let's talk about that for a second, because people are going to be like stretched. So, left prints in the marble?
This is what a Capitol tour guide actually told me that he would show people when he took them through there. They'll tell you about the demon cat. It's not like they're trying to hide it, okay? And they're obviously not doing anything about the fact.
So they're out in the open with it.
More or less, because, well, generally speaking, what could the public possibly do about this? In other words, it's no immediate threat. They don't publicize it like, hey, come to the Capitol and see the demon cat, because they never know when it's going to appear. Personally, I think it's always there, and it's only reflective of a host of demonic entities. Look, the whole city itself, the pentagrams that are the broken pentagram that's designed into the city itself, that is to bind Satan or Lucifer to that site. Historically, that's what it's for. A broken pentagram was not an accident.
Right.
You know, these things are hidden in plain sight, I guess.
So do you think this demon cat comes, you know, is able to be seen based on something very, 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 very negative? In other words, it's because of the empowerment?
Like I said, they feed off of negative energy. So this is why some people who are not, let's say they're normally not very sensitive, but when there's a surge of energy, because these things plant it, they manipulate us to doing harm. So they actually feed off of it, and that's why at times they cross over from whatever dimension they're in. They become visible to us temporarily. It's the same with the UFOs. They're not always visible, but typically we know they're there because of the film. The cameras are much more sensitive to the electromagnetic spectrum. In other words, they pick up the radiation that our eyes don't see. And it registers. That's how oftentimes people are taking pictures of these things that they didn't even see it, and yet it shows up.
Let's go to a break. My guest, Robert Stanley, will be right back.
If you would like to make contact with the host, email Ronnie at ufoshow@msn.com. And make contact.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, wanting to speak to you from my heart. For those of you that listen to my show, you know I'm candid with my words. I have never been so encouraged to endorse a product as I am now. The Natural Action Water Device from Structured Water Technologies. This little device structures your water and neutralizes chemicals so your water is pure natural. No filters, no gimmicks, and no electricity. Just simple biophoton energy. There's a lifetime warranty and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Thinking about water should be serious. Thinking about drinking water is deadly serious. There's too much information to put in this 60-second commercial, so log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com. That's structuredwatertechnologies.com. You can also click on the link at my website, RonnieMcMullenShow.com. Do the research and find out why this little water unit is changing the world. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com.
Welcome to The Other Side. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live, and my guest is Robert Stanley. His website, www.unicusmagazine.com. That's unicusmagazine.com. Lots of information there. His books are there. Don't be a stranger. You know, Robert, we were going deep on that last segment, and I love it. I think the people are loving it, and I think we need to return to it because there's a piece of me, and I could be wrong, but I just feel I'm not. There's a piece of me that says we have darker times ahead, even though we're being sold by the mass media that the economy's getting better, housing's better, life's better, good, this, that, and the other. And Obama, he's going to come and save us all with his Obamacare. And all of it is lies, Robert. Yeah. All of it is lies. Do you think that we're going to see something in the UFO world that's going to shock us in the very near future?
Yes, of course. It's going, but you know, the question is discernment here, and this is one of the reasons I've been working so hard to educate people. They're not all bad. They're not all good. So you have to be able to discern. I think in the Bible it says you'll know them by their fruit,
yeah,
or their work.
Yeah.
You know, what is their, not what they say. It's what they do. You have to be very careful about understanding that some of these people literally are not fully human.
Oh.
I mean,
but this is,
I know that's
and this
crazy
is,
to say.
Oh, no, it is crazy to say, but we say it on the show a lot. And
yeah,
the thing is a lot of people are like, you know, I guess if you say it enough time, maybe they'll believe it. It's very true there. But when we're talking about, and this really deals with what the Book of Enoch talked about called the Watchers.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And the Watchers, are truly, think about it. If they're called the Watchers, what are they doing? They're watching. Okay.
Right.
And there's obviously both sides. There's the fallen and there's the good. The good, from the codes that I'm hearing, cannot intervene until it's just almost too late.
And if we were to invite them, and believe me, I've tried to offer people that possibility. I even did a global poll. It's there up on my website. And it's actually spelled UNICUS magazine. Unicus is a Latin word. It's kind of hard to spell for some people, so that's why I do that. But
okay,
if you go to the poll where it says, actually, what does it say, vote? I think it says vote or poll. Anyway,
okay,
it's on there, and it gives you an idea of what, generally speaking, is like this. The general population wants to have contact with benevolent beings from off-world. The government does not. Our government does not want to have that, especially they don't want to have open contact. They don't want the public interacting with these beings, because it'll be the end of the, you know, game over for the dark side.
Well,
they've
yeah,
run the show here. I mean, this is the problem. Look, I've been saying this since the first book came out, and I know it's not popular, but the dark side actually runs this world. They certainly run the government. That's why they're denying the existence of spacecraft and extraterrestrials and extra-dimensional beings.
But this is far
here.
This is far past just America.
Right. Oh, no, of course not.
I mean,
yeah,
this
it's a global,
is, this
it's a
is,
global issue and affects humanity here and off this world.
Yeah.
We're not alone in this, okay? There is an issue. There's an infection in this universe. I think it came from outside the universe, okay? But wherever it came from, because otherwise God is psychotic to have created a beautiful universe and then infected it with parasites, you know?
Yeah.
What would be the point of that unless you're just, you know, crazy?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all. The God of the universe that I know, that I have had contact with, and his angels, of which I think we are. I really think that's our true origin as souls. We're non-physical beings of light. We're intelligent living energies that were created for a purpose. You know, we're part of creation. We are creators ourselves. And this destructive agent that was introduced into this universe is truly alien.
Well,
to us.
And the media, I believe, helps us go into this darkness.
Of course, it's
I think
designed to manipulate us.
And the technology, I think the technology is designed to take us deeper into the darkness.
It really is because, you know, the truth is, my understanding from my experience, is that we are all connected by a web of light. And I was actually shown this. I experienced it before the internet, so-called World Wide Web, before that even appeared in the 1980s. I was shown a vision that we were all connected everywhere in this universe by a web of light. In other words, all our consciousness, all our souls are already connected unless we decide to disconnect ourselves. And quite a few of us here have chosen to do that over time. We've been here for a very, very long time under a very negative situation. And so we were conned into some of us were conned into coming here, and furthermore, we were persuaded to disconnect from the creation and the creator and all the angels that were and the people who have crossed over, however you want to call it, out of body, near death, whatever, like myself. We've had a direct communion with these beings of light and felt their mercy and their love. It's I think words pale, and it's really hard for me to even talk about it because I get choked up when I think about them.
And this is the thing, is most, maybe I shouldn't say most, that's a judgment. There's a lot of people that have not experienced what you're talking about, the love, the unexplainable communication with the other side. And so we get caught up in this distraction. We get caught up in this negative realm. We get caught up in the technology. And the next thing you know, we lose the love of the reality, the true reality. We're so caught into the theater that goes many layers deep.
Yeah.
And really, this is Hollywood, you know, which is based on CIA operation to bring us in and to brainwash us into something to where we don't even know what's real anymore.
Sad to say, it is true. However, the good news is we can step outside. We can break the spell anytime we want.
Yes. Okay?
It's with our intent and a little bit of effort, we can actually step out of this prison or classroom, whatever
you
want to call it.
I think this is a piece of, and I've talked to some healthcare people, and they've talked about how they drug us, and they want to drug us because that's part of the parasitical energy. So let me ask you this. Do you think the President of the United States, and really not just the one we have currently, but past presidents, do they know about the parasites? Do they know about the alien agenda? Or do you think it's like what they tell us, oh, they know nothing and they're just out of the loop?
They have to know something. It depends on what ranking they are within the secret societies of this world. You know, I mean, because even within those societies, there's an inner circle that knows more than the outer circle.
Sure, correct.
So, but the president essentially is Osiris risen. It's all in the public record. Okay, I'm not making this up. And one of the things that I mentioned that I learned in the conclusion of my second book is that there's something called Beltway or Potomac fever. So the longer a person is working within the Beltway, that circle, that's a magic circle. That wasn't an accident. The magic circle that they did around the demonic city, the longer a person is working there, they become altered, and it's noticeable. And they become very power mad, and they obviously begin to rule against the will of the people. They may have the best intentions of representing the interests of the people that voted for them, but once they're there, they're compromised on many levels.
So is this why we see congressmen, we see the House of Representatives, we see the Senate, and some of them, and I believe this, went in with a good heart, good intentions. You know, we got Rand Paul right now, and we have Ron Paul, and but you also see some things that you go, wow, if they're really about the people, why did they just do that? Do you think that's what's happening, is we have... We don't know the percentages, but there's a percentage of good men that go in, or good women that go in, and all of a sudden it's gone.
Well, it's not overnight, but it gradually it creeps up on them. Look, if what I said is right about evil being an infection, then everybody is vulnerable, especially if they don't think that there's an infection to defend against. If they don't do anything to protect themselves, then obviously they're going to be infected. And what's worse is once they are infected, typically they're unable to liberate themselves from the situation.
Then they need help.
Metaphorically, it's called selling your soul to the devil. Okay, it's very alluring. They make it very tempting, you know.
And we sell our soul for what reasons, Robert?
Well, typically power.
Because a lot of times they talk about the New World Order, and when they talk about the New World Order, I mean, it's all about the money. And I always think to myself, these guys don't need any more money. They have everything. They own everything. This is not about money.
No, typically people with money, at least my understanding of it, is that it's all about controlling other people. They get a kick out of it, and here's why. Again, this is what you'd have to. One of these days, if I ever finish my next book, Archons and Angels, I've actually talked to a lot of health professionals about this, and there are levels of symbiotic relationship between humans and demons. In other words, they give you something. If you agree to work with them, they'll give you something like strength and power or fame or fortune. Mm-hmm. And some people feel that that's or even psychic abilities are enhanced.
Yes, yes. Like
because they
viewing.
they can yeah. do that, right?
Right.
And of course it doesn't always work that way for everybody, but you know, it gives them an advantage over us to manipulate some people. In other words, the levels of infection are by degree. Not everybody in Washington, D.C. is 100% affected, but those who are infected definitely have a huge impact on the rest of America and the world because of their thoughts and deeds.
Do you think, Robert, that, you know, when we're talking about being infected and, boy, talking about a lot of negative, I want to turn this back to the positive, but
please.
Do you think that, you know, we have all this infection, but don't you think in your mind's mind that there are more people with good intentions than there are that have bad?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I'm not, to quote the Bible, they said a third of the angels in heaven have fallen. So that means there's two-thirds of them that haven't.
Right.
And I think that's true for the population. I think it's actually more than two-thirds of our population that is actually still in the light, and they're good.
Well, it's like we're seeing right now, okay? We're even seeing right now, and this was just brought out, Monsanto, which is, you know, they had the axe to where nobody could touch Monsanto. Well, that's been overturned. And
right.
we see the gun laws, you know, okay, let's take away our guns, and we know if they take away all our guns, what they're going to do. Well, that's not going over very well. And so we have, I think, 10 or 12 states right now that are saying it's not going to happen. And not only you're not going to take our guns away, but now we're going to add more laws that we can have more guns, and the feds will be put away if they go after us. So we have some good things turning. Do you think this is headed towards our government soon?
Yeah, but I think people can accelerate this process. And one of the things, it's very simple, one of the things I'd urge people to do, again, if you go to my website at unicusmagazine.com, click on articles, and you'll see some things there where I expose these entities and also things that we can do to shield ourselves. One of them is the Declaration of Sovereignty. I think it's really important. It's never been done before, and it needs to be done, okay? It costs nothing. It'll take you just a few minutes, and it's really very simple, but it's incredibly important that you as a soul, a seed of light here in this creation, okay, you're a child of God. You need to, I urge people to do this, declare your sovereignty. And as a sovereign soul, you can then...
Are you talking about declaring it verbally, declaring it?
Yes, yes. I'm not asking for people's email. You just go there and declare it. Say it out loud or in your heart. I don't care. But once you do that, once you have declared yourself a sovereign soul, you can also tell the dark side to leave. You can tell them to leave this planet, and you tell them to leave this solar system. Tell them to leave the universe. That's up to you. But, I mean, this is a very important first step. We have to take some initiative on our part, okay? I really feel like, you know, there's a lot more we can do, but that's an important first step.
We got about a minute left. Let me ask you this. Out of the extraterrestrials that are visiting our Earth or actually even live here, what do you think the percentages are, good and bad? Do you have any idea?
There's quite a few good that have infiltrated. The reason they live here covertly is because the government and, I mean, the powers that be are of the dark side. I don't really know the exact percentages, the ratio.
No, and I don't think anybody does. But, I mean,
no.
I guess a heart mode. What do you feel? Do you think there's more good that are, you know, hidden and getting ready to infiltrate? Or do you feel there's more bad?
Yes, it started in the 50s. Our government actually rejected their help. And the reason they did that is because our government was already in bed in cahoots with the dark side.
Yes, yes. And that actually moved in towards the Hitler days. We'll take a break. My guest is Robert Stanley, and we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for Life Change Tea. The word awake defines as wake up. Another definition is to bring back to consciousness, or the word alert. People who are into health might be running on a higher consciousness. Caring about our health and acting on those thoughts bring healing and peace. Imagine yourself being healthy. What a thought process. Let Life Change Tea help you obtain your health optimum. Just drink 2 8-ounce glasses a day and watch the tea go to work. The results are endless. Log on to GetTheTea.com and read the numerous testimonies. Awaken to Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or speak to our friendly operators, not computers, at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This product restores energy and helps with many sicknesses that are plaguing you. Awaken to Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Welcome to the last segment of UFO Encounters Live, and of course my guest is Robert Stanley. His website, www.unicusmagazine.com. That's unicusmagazine.com. You want to go to his website. Phenomenal stuff. Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. I mean, he's got books there. He's got information articles. I mean, you go there, you're going to have a good time. So go to his website, again, unicusmagazine.com. Well, we got a few minutes here left, and we've kind of touched on things. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Has any spaceships ever actually set down on Capitol Hill?
Well, yeah.
I know that sounds strange, but I mean,
I know that sounds, yes,
not just flying over.
That's a question. Yeah,
I'm talking Hill, about boom, set down, bam, landed.
Well, there's the pictures from July 16, 2002. They landed on the roof. There was another one that had touched down in the park behind some, grassy area, but there was another one hovering over the reflecting pool. I mean, they're just everywhere that night. The pictures are available.
And you're telling me, if I'm hearing you right, you're telling me that they have somehow magically, the government maybe, or whoever, maybe just Washington, D.C., have somehow magically trained the people. They're seeing this issue, but they're not going to say anything because they'll be stripped of their fame, they'll be stripped of their job, they'll be stripped of their integrity, whatever. So just, you see this happening, boop, it's not happening, we just turn our head the other way, or we watch, but we just don't discuss what we're seeing.
Yeah, but who are you going to, okay, let's say you see something, who are you going to report it to? Officially, the government they will not investigate. Okay, I mean, the first people that I talked to was the Capitol Police, because I was wondering, yes, it was late at night, but I know they're on duty 24 hours.
Sure.
A day, and I said, well, you know, I'd like to know why you're not responding to this event. Why didn't you respond, you know? And ultimately, a few years ago, they actually did tell me that their officers do see these things on a fairly regular basis, and they have to report them in their logs, but of course, that's never going to be made public. Those logs will not be made public. So,
so when you heard this, was this off-the-cuff kind of idea?
Okay, the guy who was the... The guy who took the pictures, we became partners. He used to work for ABC News. He's a freelance photographer now, but he spent 14 years working at the Capitol and the White House for ABC News. So the first thing he did was he took those photographs to the Capitol Police Detective Division, and they were very grateful. I know that sounds weird, but they didn't want to come on the record with me. Right. So what happened was I spoke to the public relations officer and I got them to make some statements because I didn't want to, you know, completely blindside them with the first article that I wrote with the pictures. So, you know, they talked to me and, of course, have put me on the radar, unfortunately, with some intelligence agencies. And they sent a black helicopter to my house the same week I published the pictures.
Give you a little visit.
Yeah, just to kind of shake me up, and it did. But then I took their picture, and that's on my website, you know. So anyway, obviously they have something to hide. And so what happened was a few years ago, the Capitol Police, through that guy I was telling you about, that was a tour guide at the Capitol. He married one of the Capitol Police officers, so he was allowed to use his wife's BlackBerry to contact me and send me these reports unofficially, that officers that he knew, Capitol Police officers that he knew, that he was actually there one time. He was actually giving a tour of the Capitol when a UFO came over during 11 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, they're all escorted by police. The Capitol Police escorts these tour groups. And the entire tour group saw it, as well as the Capitol Police, who had to put it in their log. And that was just one of a couple incidences, essentially just confirming to me what I've been told, is their logs are full of these reports, but they can't release it to the public.
Okay,
they won't.
So that puts me at my next question.
Go ahead.
Do you feel that there are more sightings or more UFO landings, more connection, more whatever, okay, encounters on Capitol Hill than anywhere else in the United States?
Statistically, yes. I'd read that Larry Hatch did a map. He's a UFO statistician, and he'd written that, and that was based on just like 100 reports. I mean, I've got over 900 in the second book. You decide for yourself. Yeah, it seems to be that they're extremely interested. No, as a matter of fact, the guy who took the pictures, Mr. Allen, he still lives in Washington, D.C., 7 blocks from the White House. What he started doing recently was putting up the camera on top of his roof at night on a tripod and taking a time-lapse photography, like one shot every 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do this for hours, right, automatically.
Yeah.
There's stuff coming over his house every night. I mean, it's like for months now this has been going on, because that's what he, you know, he decided he wanted to test it just to see how often they're coming through that area. And a lot of times they're just popping into the sky out of nowhere. These are not meteors.
So,
they're not aircraft.
So do you believe that, you know, I'm going to put this more of a simple context, but do you believe that we have maybe the OK Corral coming here soon?
It appears to be. In my understanding, yes, there is a huge conflict, and it's ancient, too. This didn't start in 1947.
No. This didn't even start the days of Hitler. It goes way past that.
Way, way, way back. Thousands and, you know, multiple thousands of years ago.
Absolutely.
The war in the heavens. It's real. And
So do you think the good watchers, because we know that there's both good and bad, and it's simple terms, but do you think the good watchers are landing on the White House, or do you think it's the not so good?
I have an incident like that. It was called, there's a whole book about it called Stranger at the Pentagon, about a human extraterrestrial that allegedly is benevolent, that came to, landed in Washington, D.C., was escorted to the Pentagon, lived there for a number of years. He landed in 1957. And he stayed there. He was trying to offer assistance to our government, and it was rejected. And that wasn't the first time. Okay, but so to answer your question, I think the answer would be yes.
So we're talking about the bad watchers, the fallen ones. Those are the ones that are connecting with. So where do you think the good watchers, the divine, are? I mean, obviously, they're still on this earth. They're still watching us. Do you think they're going to let the bad watchers take over, or do you think there's going to be an intervention?
In my next book, Archons and Angels, I explain the entire timeline. But to summarize, this world was originally a paradise. It was bioengineered by some very advanced human life forms. We can call them whatever you want. I prefer to call them builders. And they came here, and they created a perfect world. And all life on this world was perfect up until the time that the demonic or fallen ones came. And they wrecked everything. They wrecked it all. And many of our ancestors had to flee. Those who weren't killed actually had to flee for their lives. So they turned this from a paradise world to a prison planet. And it's been that way for thousands of years.
So
the builders, now here, let me finish quick. The builders swore that they would return, liberate this world, and there's a word for it, not reclaim it, but anyway, I can't remember what it is right now.
Right. So do you think these builders, which are angelic, obviously,
mm-hmm.
And I would imagine working underneath the creative force.
Yep.
Do you think this is getting ready to have, this is what the OK Corral really is? It's going to be the dark?
But there's no way to tell exactly when it's going to happen. I do think it's going to get a little darker before that happens, but it's coming. You know, because look, the dark side, the way they run things, it's totally unsustainable anyway. And I don't think that the good guys ever meant for this to even, they didn't even know it was coming. They had no defense mechanism. The builders, in my understanding, are special forces. Not only are they engineers,
and not special forces like our military, but
no,
special
no,
forces.
No. They do things completely differently. They're not, they don't just kill people. But they're very clever. They have a lot of contingency planning. They can wait forever, too, by the way.
Well, time's not existent.
No, that's correct. So they do things on a whole different time scale, and no one can nail them down as to when, how they will act. But again, it's in my Declaration of Sovereignty. I think it would be very beneficial for people to take that declaration and know that we are all being watched. Our hearts are being measured. They know exactly how we feel.
I get the feeling that the bad guys are scared, and for the bad guys to be scared, because they're pushing the fear on us through the mass media,
right.
They're pushing the fear through HAARP system, they're pushing the fear every way they can. So, and obviously they're dumping the aluminum trails and barium chemical trails so they can watch the UFOs enter and leave our atmosphere. So I'm thinking to myself, they must be really scared, and the only reason they would be, in my opinion, really scared is because they know something's going to go down.
Yeah, but I got good news for you. There's nothing they can do about it. In Star Trek terms, which probably is not going to make, this is probably not good for credibility purposes, but anybody who's watched Star Trek, if you remember the Q,
yeah,
the builders are like that, and then some, okay? Just to give you some form of comparison, just as an analogy, they have that ability with their capacity, their minds. They can manipulate time and space and matter in ways that we would consider to be utterly, well, incomprehensible or magical.
Sure, sure.
Okay, and they do it for the good of all creation.
Well, it just seems like they know that the showdown is coming.
Yep.
And the bad guys are scared to death of it, which means they know they're going to get their butts kicked, because if they wouldn't be scared if they thought they were going to win.
It's not a butt-kicking process.
No, not. I'm using some, pretty childish terms.
Here's the thing. And yes, they are. They're scared, but they don't know what else to do. Okay,
right.
They're committed to the path. They've doubled down on the darkness. They don't know what else to do. That's why they're acting desperately. They've already been warned multiple times. As I said, the benevolent ones are benevolent.
Yeah.
Of course, they gave them notice.
Yeah.
You know, cease and desist. What you're doing is illegal, unethical, immoral.
Yeah.
You know, we are going to intervene at some point, and you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
No, I think that's powerful. We're out of time, and I love having you on. We could go forever. Again, visit Robert Stanley's website at www.unicusmagazine.com, and hopefully have you back here soon. Thank you so much, Robert, for being on the show.
My pleasure, Ronnie. Take care.
I want to thank my guest for being on the show, Robert, giving of his time. And, of course, go get his books, Close Encounters on Capitol Hill and Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., quite the read, and lots of information for you. Next week, I have John Lear coming on the radio program, and he is going to give his perspective of UFOs and what he has seen over the many years as one of the greatest pilots in U.S. history. Now, he might not tell you that, but this has been quite recorded. He's going to share with us some very intimate things about UFOs and about his career. You're not going to want to miss this one. So until next week, be aware of your surroundings, and good night.
You've been listening to Roddy McMullen, your watchman of the night skies on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com and make contact.